Jackie went into labor on Thanksgiving Day in 1996, and my daughter wasn't due until the middle of March. Jackie was only 24 weeks into the pregnancy, and so when Lexi was born, she had eye disease, lung disease. They weren't sure she was going to live. They were preparing us for the worst. So we didn't really know what we were dealing with, but we knew that this young girl was fighting for her life and we were going to egg her on. We could only hold her for 10 minutes a week. And because she had tubes in her nose, in her mouth, and her navel, we never heard her voice until she was maybe 2 months old. One of the things they taught us is that if you take a thin coffee stirrer and put it in your mouth and plug your nose and breathe through it, that's what it's like for a preemie to try to breathe. So for all these months, she's so uncomfortable. They had a monitor on her that measured the oxygen level in her blood, the blood saturation. When we walked up to her incubator and we said, "Good morning, Lexi," her oxygen levels would shoot up. I never felt so needed and so important in someone's life, even if it was just to read because I couldn't touch her. That was the most responsible and fatherly thing that I could do, and I did it with lots and lots of passion. The reward that work and community service used to give me, I get that information at home every day by having a daughter who trusts me and believes that I want the best for her, and the fact that I can give so selflessly. You know, each year I tell my friends, I tell my wife, Jackie, I've got my Father's Day present. I mean, just having a little girl who wants me to play soccer with her, or who's still okay with having me volunteer at her school to do lunchroom duty or playground duty. The fact that she's still at that stage where dad is cool, that's a sufficient gift for me. And I find that when I talk about this, it gives men a license to enjoy this aspect. Because I think what happens is we're so stressed that we're going to do it wrong, that we're either going to not be like our fathers or be like our fathers. Also, right now in the African-American community, we're experiencing the fact that about 70% of African-American homes don't have fathers in them. And so you have well-intentioned young men who are fathers who are trying to become something they've never seen or experienced. I can't think of where I go, where I flip my television or my radio, just to hear a guy who looks like me talking about the joys of fatherhood. I don't think we have enough examples of saying, just enjoy it. And that's what I want to help other fathers do. Enjoy it.